Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who never once has had to deal with 2 pounds of hot crabs, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our amazing race wrap-up here on a Friday night after a scintillating episode of The Amazing Race. It was fantastic. And I'm here with the woman who's going to now help me break it all down. Here is Jessica Leese. Jessica, I'm gushing.
Level one amazing race, dude.
Fantastic. Jess, it was so good. Best episode of the season and potentially the best episode I think we've recapped in the years that we've been doing this.
That's not an exaggeration. I'm right with you on that.
This episode had everything. We had all sorts of intrigue. We had great tasks. We had the fast forward. We had the double U-turn. We had teams screwing each other over. So really, we have so much here to break down. And I'm so happy that we are here to live to talk about it here on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, we've got the chat room going on robhasawebsite.com. Plus, Scott St. Pierre is monitoring Twitter, hashtag REJP, to get your tweets and comments into the show. I know you guys are going to have a lot tonight. Plus, it's all happening on our YouTube channel as well at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Jess, you have a good Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was nothing to complain about.
Man, I need some people to come over and do Chinese cupping on me to get out all the toxins from all of the dessert I've been eating for 2 days straight.
No, dessert doesn't have toxins, Rob. Dessert is good for you.
Is that right? Is that right? Oh my God. Anyway, happy Black Friday to you as well, Jess.
Yeah, I do like Black Friday.
Well, why? Did you go shopping today?
I did not. I went to the movies and it was empty because everybody was shopping.
Oh, good. Well, maybe everybody was shopping online on Amazon.com. It's a great way to support Rob Has a Podcast using our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Tons of Black Friday deals going on there, as well as for Canada, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon.ca. All right, let's not mess around. Let's get right into this. So many things, and let's not bury the lead. Let's start with Kim and Allie, who you and I really were starting to feel like we're going to be the winners of the amazing race. It's rare that we lose the number one contender like this, Jess. And I can't really remember the last time this happened.
I think we've had a lot of strong teams go out earlier than we've liked them to go.
But a team like, this strong.
I mean, I thought Ryan and Abby were contenders back in season 21. We thought the Twinnies were contenders in season 21. We thought Dave and Connor were going to go far until Dave snapped his tendon. John and Jessica.
Yeah.
There's been shocking early exits.
John and Jessica. Stop with John and Jessica. If there is an amazing race winner's edit, like Kim and Allie definitely were having it. And if not, like we thought they were in the final three for sure. We thought all season long, it's Adam and Bethany and it's Kim and Allie and it's the dentist. That's your final three. Lock it in. And they're out here at final five and no non-elimination. That's it.
Yeah, well, they were definitely on everybody's list for top three.
Yeah. And I mean, the Twinnies got to what, final four. So, I mean, it's very surprising to me that the scientists are in and Kim and Allie are out here at final five.
Or that Brooke and Robbie are in.
Brooke and Robbie are in as well. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fall of Kim and Allie. I'll have an exit interview with them. All the exit interviews are screwy at CBS this week. I'm going to have my interview with the latest person kicked off of Survivor on Monday. And then I was told due to travel schedule, the Amazing Race exit interview is going to be on Wednesday. So I will have that interview for you guys. And we'll have a lot to talk about with Kim and Allie. That's going to be coming up, I believe, on Wednesday of this week. And if anything changes with that, I will update you guys as well. So looking forward to talking to Kim and Allie as well, because a very exciting night with Kim and Allie, a lot of Kim and Allie turning on each other, a lot of backbiting, a lot of back cupping. And so we'll talk about all that. The big move to go to the fast forward is going to probably be the number one thing we talk about with Kim and Allie. Jess, did you like that strategy for Kim and Allie to go for the fast forward here tonight?
Well, given historically what fast forwards have been like, I can't say I wouldn't have made the same decision.
Yeah.
Like fast forwards are usually not something that you have to really work for. It's just like, go to a separate location. If you're the first one there, you get to do the thing and you get to go to the mat right away. And this time it was something that involved a little bit of skill, which of course I've been saying for years they need to be doing. It was just kind of an interesting time to choose to do that.
Well, I think what really made it so fun was because it was a skill that it was like, it might as well have been like, you know, plaque removal. You know, it was something that was so uniquely made for one of the teams that you had Adam and Bethany, who were close to last place. They were tied for last place, and they ended up diverting and going for the task because it was something that they knew that they could ace. And you had Kim and Allie, who I wonder if they suspected they were going to be U-turned. And I wonder if they felt like they had to go for this in order to avoid the U-turn, Jess.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of what they said. They said, you know, if you go to the fast forward, you don't even see the U-turn.
Yeah, but they were tied for first, and they could have, if they would have just stuck it out and gone through the tasks as they were on the paper, there was a good chance that they were going to get ahead of the U-turn and not have to do it. And I wonder, even if they had to do the U-turn, I wonder if they would have been able to get through both of those things and make it to the end instead of going and wasting all that time with trying to do the fast forward.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight's 20/20. I can't say that I wouldn't have been really tempted to go for that fast forward just to take the U-turn off the board entirely.
Yeah. So as far as in, if you are in first place, do you like the call to go for the fast forward no matter what?
I do. I do like that call. And it's just because the fast forward is flawed as it is.
Yeah.
And maybe they're finally wising up to the fact that you need the fast forward to require a little bit of skill and it needs to be something that's worth a risk. So if that's the case in the future, you're going to have to think about that a little bit harder. But every fast forward from probably about season 5 up until now, there's really hasn't been a lot of, you know, having to think it over.
Really, there was like 3 or 4 different moments in the episode where really you were just like on the edge of your seat. And I don't know what they can take away from this, but they really got everything right in this episode because it was so exciting that Kim and Allie were doing the double U-turn or doing the fast forward, and they were on the surfboard and just that countdown clock. It was like 24 and the clock was ticking down and you were like, oh, are they going to hang on there? And Adam and Bethany were showing up and they couldn't find where to go. And then the way that the fast forward was set up where they had to take turns switching back and forth, that was really exciting.
Yeah, it was extremely suspenseful. And I think the editors hit this kind of sweet spot that they don't often get it this perfect. And then, but they had a lot of great raw material to work with because, you know, you had Kim and Allie, you thought they were going to get the fast forward, they wouldn't have to worry about the U-turn, but oh no, now they have to worry about the U-turn again. But oh, look, nobody U-turned them, but oh, now they're still in the back. Are they going to make it? Are they going to get there? It was a lot of suspense. I was definitely on the edge of my seat pretty much all night.
Yeah, and it really was because the stakes were so high too at the fast forward because it was like, well, whoever gets the fast forward is going to come in first and whoever doesn't get the fast forward is probably going to come in last and is probably going to get U-turned.
Yeah, it was all or nothing with that.
It really was. It was really so exciting. And then it also felt like that Kim and Allie were like, wait, the surfboard is too small for Adam. He's not going to be able to get it. So then there was like the reverse intrigue of, oh, my God, Adam and Bethany have a surfing task. This is like teed up for them on a silver platter. And they're not going to be able to get it because Adam isn't going to be able to do it.
Yeah, they're going to 5-hole.
Yeah, it was going to be a 5-hole situation. But then luckily for Adam and Bethany, they're able to get it. And then, you know, Kim and Allie, they start turning on each other. And really, Allie, a bit of a negative Nancy tonight.
Yeah, yeah, they have never reminded me more of Brooke and Claire than they did this week.
Yeah,
because you have the one that's really Piper and is kind of pulling the other one, and the other one can get a little bit negative.
Yeah, but then look at them. They were able to sort of pull their act together, and then they make it a very exciting race to the finish. And again, how close that actually was, we'll probably never know. But I really thought they were going to pull it out. I thought if you would have asked me going into that last commercial break, I would have thought that the scientists were going out tonight.
Yeah, they were very, it was very close together.
Okay, let's talk about the rivalry between the scientists and the wrestlers, which again is such a fun rivalry because you have two teams that are just polar opposites. You have the team that's, it's brains versus brawn, these two teams. And, you know, you have Brooke and Robbie and Brooke really took the villain turn on the episode tonight. And even though I think they're great TV, you had to feel bad for Amy and Maya tonight because Brooke, I mean, from saying, I hope they fall off the thing to then they were lying to them. And then the Amy and Maya have the sound strategy of, okay, there's two teams that went for the fast forward. Let's go ahead and U-turn both of them. Was there any reason, Jess, in all of your Amazing Race wisdom that Brooke and Robbie should not have U-turned the cyclists?
There's absolutely no reason not to do that. Unless they really, really wanted Adam and Bethany out. But again, like it's idiotic. They should have covered all their bases. And I can't see any reason that an intelligent person wouldn't have chosen to use that U-turn.
Yeah, I have no idea. The only thing I could think of, like, did a producer say, like, they're good. You don't need to. Because then they'll be mad at you if you do it. I mean, there's no logical reason why they wouldn't have used the U-turn in that spot.
Yeah, and the cyclists are already the team that they have this pact against.
Yeah, they have an alliance to U-turn them. And then Jim and Misty didn't do it either. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I think the only thing that makes sense is that they must have just assumed that either they assumed that the cyclists were so far behind that it didn't matter whether or not they U-turned them, or they may have decided that if Adam and Bethany got U-turned, they're probably going to come in last and it's probably going to be bad for them. And they're a very strong team. So why not just roll with it? Then you don't have to talk to them again. You don't have to actually answer for it.
I don't know. I can't wrap my head around it. What the teams were thinking. And then it set up this situation where it looked like Kim and Allie were just dead to rights. And then they have this chance to stay alive. And now the rivalry between the scientists and the wrestlers is really going to be fun moving forward because now there's really bad blood. Like it was getting a little nasty on the tightrope, and then it was starting to really boil when they were saying, well, why didn't you U-turn them? Go back and U-turn them. It's not that far. You could still go back to U-turn. Jess, any reason why you wouldn't be allowed to go back and U-turn them? Is that the correct rule?
I don't think you're allowed to do that. I think there's a very clear way that you have to handle the U-turn. You have to go up to it. You have to look at the camera and say, we choose not to U-turn anybody. And then you're done. You have to go now because you've made your decision about the U-turn and you've recorded it on camera.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that you're not allowed to go back and undo your U-turn.
Yeah, I was under the impression that once you open the next clue, you can't go back to the U-turn spot.
Right, right. And that's true of just about everything. Like once you've opened the clue, like whatever you did before that is done and it's over with.
Okay, so let's talk about this test. So this was the perfect task at the perfect time to do the Merlion. And so not Merlonio, Merlion. And you have to go and look for there's five of them and you have to go around. And so Brooke and Robbie find the correct Merlion, not a merman. A Merlion, Jess. And so they go ahead and they tell Amy and Maya, they said, nope, it's not here. It's not this one. Now, earlier in the episode, there was the guy walking around with the clue. And maybe this is a little bit of karma for Amy and Maya that they didn't tell the wrestlers, hey, it's the guy that's walking around with the thing on him. And Brooke and Robbie actually walked past him at one point. So, Jess, what is your take on this? Did Amy and Maya reap what they sowed? What is it, so, Jess?
Honestly, I don't think that Amy and Maya didn't lie to anybody. Just said, the clue is over there. And the clue, where was the clue? It was over there.
But Brooke felt like she said that they just sort of like pointed in the vague direction. They didn't say, yeah, there's a guy who's walking around with a sandwich board on him. You're going to want to stop that guy and talk to him. They just sort of like, it's that way. And so Brooke and Robbie were annoyed by that, although it doesn't take much to annoy Brooke and Robbie.
Yeah, that's very true. But you know, it's not rocket surgery to find that guy with the clue.
Rocket surgery.
It's not rocket surgery.
Yeah.
And And I don't think that Amy and Maya owed them anything at this point. And they certainly would have been well within their rights to say, yep, we got the clue. It's somewhere. Good luck.
So what should the scientists do in that spot where they're driving around in the taxi and Brooke and Robbie say, no, not here. Should they, can you ever believe another team?
Well, you definitely need to check it out for yourself. And unless this is a team that you have this like ironclad bond with, and you know that they've never lied to anybody about anything ever, and you never know that, so you need to go check it out for yourself.
Oh my God. It was just such great television. It really was. And you know, I'm not one for hyperbole, Jess, especially when it comes to The Amazing Race.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of thing, like, last season, I had a lot of friends that, you know, nobody I know in real life watches this show, really. And so they were asking, you know, I know you're really into this podcast. Maybe I should start watching the show. And I said, yeah, yeah, you should. And then you can watch the podcast and you can be in on this thing that I love. And that was last season. And nobody made it to the end. And I feel like now I have an episode I can point them to and I can say, this is the show that I love. This is the thing that I'm into and this is why. And this would convince anybody, I think, to be an Amazing Race fan.
Yeah. So such an exciting finish down to the wire of who was going to come in last. And really, I still can't believe that Kim and Allie are out. And if anybody is one of these conspiracy theory people with the aluminum foil fast forwards in their pocket, I have to say that this is primo evidence that they're not picking and choosing these non-elimination legs, because they had every reason in the world to do non-elimination leg for Kim and Allie.
Yeah, absolutely. It would have been a really great cap on a story that was really fantastic.
Let's talk about the tasks here tonight. Okay. I felt like, I don't understand, Jess, when they really are just saying like, okay, so they're going to Singapore. And the first thing you're going to do when you get to Singapore is drink a coconut. Why even have anything there? Why even waste our time with drink a coconut?
I think they just wanted to show another location, like put everybody on a boat. Boats are fun.
Yeah. Well, why not just make it like go to the pits, go to the stop and give the guy a high five and then get your clue.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought the coconut was fun just because you had the contrast of Kim and Allie standing there drinking their coconut and saying, oh, this coconut's great. And then they pan over to Brooke and she's like, I don't like this. Robbie, you drink this.
Yeah. Brooke doesn't like anything.
She liked the first part of the massage.
Yeah, the first part. Actually, before we get to Singapore, so we had the sequence at the travel agency, which I thought was also very interesting. So Jim and Misty and Adam and Bethany are talking about this alliance, and Adam and Bethany, they came in first last week. They're the first one to get to the travel agency. And so Jess, the clue said, okay, you have to fly to Singapore. Here's a flight, or you could get whatever flight you want. So talk us through this a little bit, and also this new rule that Jim tells us about, which is once you book a ticket, you're booked and you can't change your ticket. Why do we have this rule here in Amazing Race 25?
This is a cost-cutting measure. This is because the Amazing Race used to have the rule that you could have as many tickets as you wanted as long as they were refundable. And now it's that they don't want to have to deal with getting the refunds on all the tickets. So they just kind of made it so once you have a flight, that's your flight.
Okay. Do you like this rule or does it bum you out?
I don't think it ultimately makes a lot of difference.
I like it. I like it. I think it's just another thing to add drama. If you could have all these tickets and then pick and choose whatever one you want, I feel like that's more intrigue, not less, right?
Yeah, that's true. And you're never going to be stuck in a situation like they were back in the day where they couldn't get a flight anywhere and they had to buy up like every plane ticket they could find. That's never going to happen again just because the Amazing Race has kind of figured out a way to obliterate that. So I think it can add a little bit of suspense and it's not going to take any away.
Okay. All right. So we ended up then with two flights where we had Brooke and Robbie, the scientists and the cyclists all on the first flight. And then Jim and Misty and Adam and Bethany on the second flight. So we come into Singapore and then we have the option to take the fast forward here, which Kim and Allie end up being the only people to go do it because I guess they're feeling the heat that the other teams want to U-turn them.
Yeah, I think in that situation, you kind of have to.
Yeah. And so they go to go to the U-turn. Meanwhile, the scientists and the wrestlers, really, this was so fun that these two teams were just neck and neck and together the whole race tonight. And these are teams that they worked together as recently as at the Opera House, Jess.
Yeah. Yeah, they were, and they had made a pact in the last leg that they were going to work together. Yeah. And, but I'm not surprised, like, they're just such different teams. It's not surprising that they ended up with some conflict.
Okay, Jess, tell us about what you thought of the high wire task, because we've seen a lot of, like, death-defying stunts, I feel like, this season on the race, and here's another one.
Yeah, well, I was surprised. This is the first time I've ever seen anybody fail at one of those.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just the kind of thing where it's Jim weighs so much, where he's like, you know, 200 whatever pounds. And, you know, you're better off just being either, you know, somebody who's, you know, 120, 130 pounds on these things, just because you don't have to like the rope can, you know, only hold so much weight.
Yeah, it also has to do with your center of gravity. And I think Jim's center of gravity is probably higher than, like, most of the people that did this task were female.
Yeah. No, I think that was a mistake to not have Misty do that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was scared for Jim.
I was too. That looked genuinely terrifying.
Yeah.
And he seemed like he took it pretty well. He's just like, I guess they have to reel me back in now.
I don't know. He was really like, he looked shaken doing that task.
Yeah.
Especially after he fell the first time.
Yeah, his eyes got really big.
Yeah. And so, meanwhile, the teams are doing the high wire act, and we started to get into all of the intrigue going on at the Wave House. So the next task when we get to the detour is we had to do the Chinese cupping or Chinese crabbing. Jess, talk us through Chinese cupping as a challenge.
Well, this is an Eastern medicine ritual that involves putting little glass globes, like taking all the air out of them with a flame and sticking them on your back, a whole bunch of little suction cups all over your back. It's apparently incredibly painful. And it actually, but if you can deal with the pain, it's a fixed amount of time. Whereas the crabs, you actually have to accomplish a task.
Yeah. And so, Jess, have you seen a task before that is reminiscent of the Chinese cupping?
There have been quite a few painful massage tasks in the past, and the cupping has actually been a task on other editions of The Amazing Race, but there was very famously a few seasons ago, there was a task that involved receiving a Chinese foot massage, and you had to sit in the chair and get the massage for 10 solid minutes, and it was incredibly painful.
Whoa.
I think it was season 18 when they had to do that. It was either season 14 or 18. And they also did it in season 2 of Australia.
Jess, I know for a fact that my favorite baseball team and your favorite baseball team, the New York Mets, also practice Chinese cupping as well.
Do they now?
Not even a joke. They're Mets are using the Chinese cupping.
It doesn't seem to be helping.
Yeah, recently. Yeah, they're doing. Matt Harvey is doing Chinese cupping. The Mets are into it.
Yes, they're getting desperate.
It's working. But anyway, so this task, Jess, was this the most blurred topless nudity we've ever seen on The Amazing Race?
Yeah, I thought I was watching Survivor for a
Whoa.
Second.
Whoa! Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, that was really crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, again, this episode had everything. It had a guy almost dying. It had blurred nudity. It had conflict. It had suspense.
Yeah.
This is level one Amazing Race, Rob.
All the fixins. And so did you think anybody was going to tap out during Chinese cupping?
I thought Amy and Maya were close to tapping out.
Yeah. Amy especially.
Yeah. Amy was not taken that well.
Yeah. And I loved also on the Chinese cupping. I mean, they had like the default, like comic shot of the camera placed in the circle hole of the massage table. I mean, that was really perfect.
Yeah, that was pretty great. And I also liked the commentary by the masseuses.
Yeah. Laughing at them.
Yes.
Really great. I was going to pull sound clips of everybody screaming during the Chinese cupping, but I felt like you get it.
That'd just be insult to injury, Rob.
Insult to injury.
We're a nice podcast.
Let's talk about the other side of that. The crab challenge. they're hot as a match, those crabs.
They're something. Yeah. And I like that there was a guy in a crab suit dancing around. That was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I wish more teams would have done the crab thing because I thought it ended up being pretty fun. It had a lot of elements that I like where I just really enjoy when the teams are doing a task and there are just elements that are trying to annoy them.
Yeah, I love it when they show up to a task and there's a party going on.
Yes, and the people are just like playing music like right around them and like crashing like cymbals behind them as they're doing it. And then on top of it, one of the really underrated things that I love about The Amazing Race is whenever they involve like cartoon like whammy effects on the screen, yes. Which it rarely happens, but I do love it anytime. And there was like a little like crab that was like cartoon crab that was coming up on the screen and laughing at them, which was all like obviously wasn't happening in real life, I don't think, for Jim and Misty, but it was very fun to me. I like anytime they could get like a little whammy on the screen.
They've been doing a lot of that this season. I feel like we've seen much more of it than we ever have before.
Where else did we get a whammy?
We got it in the first episode when they were digging for the treasure and they'd have these like little graphics coming up on the screen. It would point to where they were supposed to be digging and you'd hear pirate laughter.
Okay, yeah, that's good. There was a really good one in when the Twinnies played on their first season in the ping pong challenge. They had a good whammy there also. So that's always fun. All right, so then the final part was going to look for the Merlion. Do you like these things where it's just completely luck-based as a challenge, Jess?
I think sometimes you have to have it. But I think there's definitely a little skill in it. Like you have to figure out where all the merlions are, figure out which one is the closest and start there and then go to the next closest. So there's some strategy involved.
Yeah. Although the Kim and Allie looked like they sort of aced it on going for the one that was furthest away. That gamble paid off.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe they just didn't want to show them stopping at all the other merlions because at this point they're fate was kind of sealed.
Yeah. Did you listen to my exit interview with Tim and TJ this week?
I certainly did.
Yeah. So according to Tim and TJ, Team TNT, and that interview is available on robisawebsite.com. They were saying that they were just, just trying to finish out the string. They thought that they were last anyway, and they just wanted to finish the leg, and they figured that they were never going to get the flag last week, and that's why they ultimately went back to polish the armor.
Yeah.
So that's ultimately what, because we did not agree with Tim and TJ's philosophy last week. But again, much like anything, there's a reason for everything.
Yeah. And I think they don't get into every single thing because you only have like, 42 minutes to tell your story.
Only 42 minutes to tell the story. All right. So we're going to get into all of your questions here. So make sure you get them in #RHAP and also on our YouTube channel at robinsawebsite.com/YouTube. Let's just talk power rankings real quick, Jess. So we've got these four teams left. Now it is the dentist. It's Adam and Bethany. It's Brooke and Robbie and the sweet scientist. One of these teams will win the Amazing Race. I think that what we're looking at is with just three episodes left now of the Amazing Race headed towards our December 19th finale. So I suspect what is next week going to be the non-elimination?
It has to be.
Okay. So we'll have the non-elimination leg next week on the 5th. And then we will get down to the final three teams by the 12th. And then we'll have three teams competing in the 1 hour finale on the 19th, correct?
That sounds right.
That looks right. Okay. So Jess, talk us through it here.
All right. I think I'm not really sure I can absolutely rank them, but I can definitely split them into two groups.
Well, certainly. Okay. We have the top group of the dentist and Adam and Bethany, and then we have a tier, and then Brooke and Robbie and the scientists.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And what's interesting about the two tiers is in the top tier, the two teams are working together. And in the bottom tier, the two teams are against each other. It's almost like you would see this on Survivor, where you have like two people who have a final two deal. And then they have, there's like the person who's jockeying to be the person in the final three. And those three and four are fighting with each other.
Yeah. And three and four don't get that if they work together, they could probably get rid of either one or two.
Yes, of course. Of course. That's what makes it fun.
That is what makes it fun. Okay. And I think we're seeing a lot of that. And I don't know how much you're going to need to be in alliance with anybody going forward, because you're almost at the point where you can't think of the other teams.
All right. So in those two tiers, who do you give the advantage to, Dentist or Adam and Bethany?
Adam and Bethany. Definitely. They've been performing a little bit more solidly, and I think they have a slightly better attitude, although Jim and Misty definitely have a better attitude than most people give them credit for.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. That's a fun showdown, Jim and Misty and Adam and Bethany.
Yeah, it is. And I'm excited to see the outcome.
Yeah. And then what about in the bottom tier, in the Intercontinental division? Who do you like, Brooke and Robbie or Amy and Maya?
Yeah, down in the Gulf Coast League.
Yes, we've got AAA.
Yep. I think I like Amy and Maya just because they have the better attitude. Like, they can deal with hardship a little bit better than Brooke and Robbie, because every time Brooke runs up into something she doesn't like, she lets you know immediately that she does not like it, and she has not liked much on this race so far.
But what about Amy's injury?
Injury came up once, and she does run a little bit weird, but she is running and she can run, and it's not slowing them down significantly. And really, if they can be good at the tasks, they're not going to put themselves in a situation where they have to run it out at a pit stop.
Do you think we could see a hardened sweet scientist, a less sweet scientist moving forward after what happened tonight of getting duped by the lie from Brooke and Robbie?
Are we going to see some bitter scientists?
Bitter scientists.
I think the claws are going to come out. I think they are definitely going to be a little bit less sweet than they were.
Brooke says her claws are longer.
Well, if you get in, the long claws are not an advantage if you can get in close and go for the body.
Okay. That's sort of like a velociraptor logic.
It's definitely velociraptor logic.
Okay.
I think we got our hashtag.
Okay. I'll put that in the mix. We'll let people vote. I've got bitter scientists and velociraptor logic. Velociraptor logic is hard to spell, though.
It's kind of long, too.
Yes. And it could also get overshadowed by the Jurassic Park trailer this week.
That's true, but there's not much logical about that trailer.
They made a new dinosaur, Jess. The dinosaur scientists, hashtag.
Honestly, like, every time somebody dies, don't you think they should just close the book on this? Like,
yeah.
Okay, the dinosaurs got out and killed a bunch of people. Let's never do that again.
Yeah, I kind of find it hard to believe the plausibility of a viable Jurassic theme park at this point. Like, I can't imagine anybody's like, oh, that's a good idea. I would go check out the Jurassic Park.
Yeah, hey, remember the time when all those people died because the dinosaurs ate them? That's never going to happen again.
That was a long time ago.
Let's go shell out a bunch of money to go see this thing up close. We're not going to get eaten.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not buying it. I don't know if I'm buying it.
Me either.
Okay. All right. So let's segue into taking your questions. But first, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of Rob is a Podcast. And those are our friends over at Hulu Plus. Because, Jess, I know you love TV as much as I do. And this is the fall. This is the best time of year for TV, because you've got your favorite shows coming back with new episodes and all new shows are premiering. And Hulu Plus is making this the best fall season ever, Jess, and not just because of all of your pies.
You know, there's so many things to love about fall, and TV is very high on that list.
Because right now, Hulu Plus has current season episodes of your favorite shows like Sleepy Hollow, Bob's Burgers, Once Upon a Time, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Revenge, The Mindy Project, Modern Family, and more. And if you're not caught up on these shows, you can catch them all on Hulu Plus. And you know what else you can catch on Hulu Plus, Jess? Every freaking season of The Amazing Race.
You don't say.
Yes. Yes.
That's amazing.
So you can go back and watch all of the seasons. Get ready for a switchback too, Jess. What season of The Amazing Race will we have to go back and check out a switchback for to get ready for next week?
You're going to have to go back to the I think it is the penultimate leg of season five.
Season five.
One of the most famous quotes in Amazing Race fandom.
Which is?
My ox is broken.
Ox is broken. All right. Well, you check that out on Hulu Plus. Now, you've probably watched Hulu on your computer, but Hulu Plus is much more because Hulu Plus lets you watch every episode of shows like South Park, Family Guy, America's Next Top Model, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Real Housewives of all the different cities around the globe, because Hulu Plus works on your computer, smart TV, Roku, Apple TV, Xbox, Wii, PlayStation, pretty much any streaming device that you already own. No Chinese cupping required, Jess.
Thank God.
Because with Hulu Plus, you're in total control to stream as much as you want, whenever you want. Binge watch all the shows that you're behind on. Not just binge on pumpkin pie like me at my house.
All you had was pumpkin? You didn't have other flavors?
No, we just had one. Just one flavor and brownies and cookies also. I've been binging on that too in addition to Hulu Plus. So
okay.
For only $7.99 a month, watch your favorite fall shows anytime, anywhere. You can get a hookup for the subscribers of Rob as a Podcast with a free 2-week trial when you go to HuluPlus.com/Rob. 2 weeks is better than one. Go to HuluPlus.com/Rob to get the extra free week, and then you will help support the podcast and you'll get a fantastic deal. HuluPlus.com/Rob for your extended free trial. That's HuluPlus.com/Rob. All right, question time. That's right. Let's get into it. Here we go. Scott St. Pierre, what do we got? Let's start off with JJ Rules 07 says, does it make sense to put a U-turn on a leg where the save might be used?
You know, it definitely, I don't think the save has much bearing on it. It's just like there's one team you're not going to U-turn. And there's another team you're not going to U-turn because if you know who got the fast forward, you're not going to U-turn them. I think it just kind of took the dentists out of contention. I don't know that that's a leg design flaw, but it's definitely, it's a consideration.
Would you have had the double U-turn next week after the save could be used?
I would probably have done that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. What are you going to do? So let's go to Nick2S. Nick2S wants to say, what are your thoughts about announcing so publicly you're going to fast forward as a strategic move to avoid being U-turned in the event they fail at the fast forward? Okay, so Jess, should you tell everybody that you were going to do the fast forward because then it makes you a target for the U-turn?
I think, again, it goes back to this is how we've seen fast forwards in the last 10 to 15 seasons. The fast forward has been something that you're definitely going to get if you go for it. And so there's no reason for anybody to suspect that you're going to fail at getting it. So you might as well just tell everybody, we call it, we got the fast forward and run out and everybody thinks you got it.
Claimed. The, yep. Yeah. It really, if it wasn't a surfing task, would Kim and Allie have been eliminated tonight?
No.
That's, tough stuff. Tough stuff.
It is very tough.
Look,
stuff.
And Kim and Allie, they have lived by the sword in this season where there's been a couple cycling tasks. They die by the sword tonight when a task that is so suited to another team ends up being what's their downfall.
Yeah, that's really tough to. I think the tinfoil hats are going to come out in full force on this one too.
Yeah, why the Kim and Allie fans are going to say this was unfair for Adam and Bethany?
I think so. I think people are going to say that the producers wanted to keep Adam and Bethany in it, and so they'd give them the surfing task. And of course, I personally, you know how I feel about that kind of postulating, but I think it's something people are going to be wondering.
Some people might say that, but were Adam and Bethany in any danger of going out here that the producers had to like route the race to Singapore to give them a surfing task?
Well, you could do a surfing task in a few different places.
Yeah.
I've seen surfing tasks in British Columbia and Dubai, and you could do one in Australia. You don't have to like say, oh, you got to go to this one surfing simulator. Like Adam and Bethany had even done them before.
Yeah. I mean, did the producers of the show want to see Adam and Bethany on surfboards? I would say the answer to that is unequivocally yes. Yes, they wanted to see that, but Kim and Allie, I don't think can... you know, can be sour grapes and say they didn't have to go to the fast forward. If they would have just run their race and they didn't even have to touch a surfboard, they didn't want to.
Yeah, they would have been just fine.
Yeah. And so they knew it was surfing heading to the fast forward, right?
Yeah, they in the cab on the way there, like they thought it was surfing, and then they borrowed the cabbie's iPad and looked it up.
Yeah.
So they knew what they were in for.
At that point, should they have headed to the tight wire act?
I think at that point, they would have had time to kind of get out a little bit ahead.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Bishop. Bishop says, are Kim and Allie destined for the next All-Star season? Jess, all right, I know it's early to call. This is the first season since our last All-Star season. Kim and Allie, All-Star, no doubt?
I don't know if no doubt, but I think they are a demographic that they have trouble filling when they cast the All-Star season, and they were entertaining, they were strong. If I were casting it, I would say they were a lock.
I'm going to send them through. Kim and Allie, All-Stars.
I'm going to allow for the possibility that there's going to be a season in the next few seasons that Bertram and Elise are going to fall in love with, and they're going to cast half the people from that in the next All-Stars, and that kind of, you know, takes up a lot of spaces.
That being said, not dying for another All-Star Amazing Race season.
No, if they never had another All-Star season again, I would be totally cool with that.
What about Kim and Allie on the next Survivor Blood versus Water?
Now that I could get behind.
Maybe just Kim.
Yeah, maybe both of them.
Okay. Let's go to Megan Ainsworth, who says, why did the second teammate have to gear up at the roadblock? They didn't do anything.
Liability.
Yes, just in case they fell off of the building.
I think there has to be some, I think it's just paying lip service to liability, because I was trying to figure out, like, what is the helmet possibly protecting them from? Like, is stuff going to fall on their head? Are they going to slip and hit their head on something? I couldn't figure it out either, but I assume it's just because anybody in that area has to have a helmet on.
Okay. Let's go to Shane Gallagher, who wants to know, was Amy during the massage the most uncomfortable and distressed you've ever seen a racer in a task?
I've seen some racers that have to like encounter a crippling phobia that have been a little more distressed than Amy, but it's close. It's really close.
Let me give a quick shout out to Shane Gallagher, who writes up the recaps every week of these live podcasts, and he does a fantastic job. So thank you so much, Shane, for the recap. I know a lot of people appreciate those. So they say, should I watch this episode? Let me see what they're going to talk about. And then, of course, they say, yes, oh, this recap is fantastic. This sounds like a very interesting show. Very good.
Yeah, Shane Gallagher is a stand-up guy.
Stand-up guy. All right, let's go to HJPK. 123, who says, so sad to see Kim and Allie go. Do you think going to the fast forward was the right move for them, considering they are semi-professional surfers that are still in the race? Jess, I'm going to say, I think it was a bad move.
Yeah, I think they weighed the 40-minute lead they had against, like, you know, the fast forward's probably not going to be hard. We can probably knock it out, even though this is something they do for a living. Yeah. We can say it's a bad move because it got them out, but I don't think it was the dumbest thing we've ever seen on the show.
Jess, would you also say that their social game was subpar, that it made all of it, there was something about them that made all of the other teams want to get together and U-turn them?
Yeah, I mean, this is...
They were standoffish.
Yeah, it was the same thing we saw happen with the Afghanimals. Like, outwardly, like us, the viewers, we thought they sounded great. Like, we thought they were fun. They were entertaining. They were trying hard to make us like them. And then everybody else on their season kind of didn't like them. And there was never any real concrete explanation for it. They're just like, yeah, they're shady. Oh, they're a threat. And this exact same thing happened to Kim and Allie.
Okay. Let's take another question. This is from George Wise. And George wants to know, now that Kim and Allie are gone, who do you think is going to get the last final three spot between Amy and Maya and Brooke and Robbie? Now, Jess, you say that it is Amy and Maya. You like their attitude.
I think that they are going to handle adversity a little bit better than Brooke and Robbie. But I think it's very up in the air.
It's up in the air. Brooke and Robbie, second place tonight. Best finish of the race yet so far for them.
Yeah.
They're hot. They're coming in hot. Hot
they
fire.
They are coming in hot. Yep.
I like Amy and Maya. I'm going to give the edge to Brooke and Robbie.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm just like letting my bias of who I like as people come through.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm going with Brooke and Robbie. Although sweet scientists are easy to root for also.
They are very easy to root for.
Okay. Let's go to the original Donald. This is not the imposter Donald. Are people that afraid of Jim that nobody wanted to U-turn him? I will say no, they are not afraid of him. They know that they have a save.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cut and dried. Like, there is no reason to U-turn the dentists.
Yes, unless you want to waste the U-turn.
And make the dentist mad at you.
Is it possible that the teams think there could be a third U-turn coming up? And because once you U-turn somebody, you can't U-turn anybody again?
There's not going to be a third U-turn.
Is there possible that the other teams are trying to save their U-turn?
The other teams must know that there's not going to be another U-turn. There's never been three U-turns in a race.
But if they know that there's no third U-turn, then why not just U-turn Kim and Allie?
Again, this is totally inexplicable. There was no reason not to do it.
It doesn't remind me when I'm going to do an exit interview with Brooke and Robbie and the dentist that I want to know why didn't they U-turn Kim and Allie.
Yeah, I will remind you.
Yes,
because I really want to know as well.
Remind me about that because I'll forget. Okay, let's go to Ari Ferrari. Wants to say, do you think we can expect an increase in the use of cowabunga on CBS reality? Did somebody say cowabunga tonight?
I think there was a lot of surfer talk.
Okay. I don't suspect that we'll see a lot of cowabunga unless Fabio is going to come back for a Survivor All-Stars.
Well, as much as I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I think the Ninja Turtles are on a different network, so we're probably not going to see them either.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Hey. Wants to say, do you think that the cyclists would have won if they were in the final three? Hard to say.
They were contenders.
They
would have been contenders.
They had a real shot. And I really think that if the final three was going to be Jim and Misty and Kim and Allie and Adam and Bethany, that would have been a total crapshoot. I think those have been the top three teams all season long. Has anybody come in first in this season besides those three teams?
No.
It's been domination for those three.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting dangerously close to being boring. Like, I hate it when it's just like two teams battling it out for first every week, but having three kind of mitigates that.
Yeah. But one of those teams is gone.
Yep.
It's done. Big shocker. Alex G says, has the rule always been if one team fails the fast forward, another team gets to try? Jess, is a fast forward typically a thing that only one team can do at once?
Typically, yeah. It depends. There have been fast forwards in the past where more than one team can be doing it. A famous one was in season 13. The fast forward involved eating this giant plate of various unappetizing animal parts. And Terrence and Sarah were going for it. And Nick and Star were going for it. And Terrence was a vegan and he couldn't eat the animal parts. But they were both sitting there at the table like trying to shovel them in. And ultimately, it was why Terrence and Sarah got eliminated. So there are fast forwards like that, but typically it is something like it's something that involves a little bit of daring and they really have one setup for it. And if you fail at it, the next team can have a shot.
Yeah, just added to the excitement tonight that it was like if the one team fails, then the other team gets to return serve and they get to go back and forth. It was a really, really well executed challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked this one.
Yeah. Great. Again, I can't give enough praise to the producers of The Amazing Race because we're hard on the show when it's, you know, things are like, what, really? This was just boring. We're just going through the motions and we're just watching a bunch of stuff play out. But I was captivated tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really great.
Can't say it enough. Meemark 8. If there's only going to be one fast forward the entire race, do you feel that it makes the most sense to put it on the U-turn leg? Well, I think it added to the suspense tonight here because it was such an all or nothing move. Because if you went for the U-turn and didn't get it, you were likely to be U-turned if teams were doing things logically.
Yeah, well, nobody's going to accuse Brooke and Robbie of being logical.
Yeah. And Jim and Misty.
Yeah.
They don't get off on scot-free on this either.
No, I think Jim and Misty might have just been looking out for number one, though. Like, for Brooke and Robbie, they had been talking about it all leg.
Yeah, well, they did make the plan with the sweet scientists, and then it was almost like a we're mad at them. You know, they're let's cut off our nose. We don't like them, so we're not going to go do the plan that we just created with them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe maybe they were a little lightheaded after the cupping. Too much blood in their back and not enough in their brain.
Maybe when they sucked out the toxins, they also sucked out the common sense.
Possible. Curry sauce. Do you guys think that Amy and Maya have any chance of winning the season? What, Jess, is there a chance? Talk to me about Beekman boys.
There's always a chance.
Yeah.
Case in point, the Beekman boys.
Beekman boys are the Trent Dilfer of Amazing Race teams. Where Trent Dilfer was the quarterback of the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. And any team that you talk about, like, well, if you could win a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer as quarterback, then any team has a shot. And the Beekman boys are that team of the Amazing Race. Like, well, if the Beekman boys can win, then so could Amy and Maya.
Yep. And I remember Trent Dilfer because we had this conversation when they won.
Yes. 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 So poor Trent Dilfer.
Poor Beekman boys.
Yes. Hey, look, the check didn't bounce.
No, it's true. They paid off their farm. They're very happy. They got cute goats.
Yeah. Okay.
They got the Time Warner commercial.
Got a Time Warner commercial. The original Donald will say, will there be an amazing save next season or will the producers realize it's a dud? All right. So, Jess, will the save come back next season?
If the save comes back, I don't think it's going to, but if it does come back, we're going to see its powers diminished greatly.
Hmm.
Like, it's going to be a situation like the Survivor Immunity Idol where you have to give it to Phil before he even tells you what place you're in.
Well, I think that would be more exciting. I would like to see it come back with those rules.
Yeah. I would like to see, actually, I've seen some other great things. Like Amazing Race Australia does a salvage pass where you can save, when you win a leg, you can save the team that comes in last on that leg.
Why would you do that?
You can save them if they're friends of yours, if you think you can beat them later on, or you can elect to kick them out, which happened this past season.
So you just stand there and then give a thumbs down.
They can plead their case too.
Oh, I like that. I like begging and groveling.
Yeah.
That would be good. I think we need more of that on The Amazing Race.
I everything is improved by groveling. I mean,
and then is there like a Jerry Springer, like a security guy, Steve, that stands around and like separates the teams when they say, you know what? We're not going to save you. Like you son of a, like, do they get into like a huge altercation?
I think there's too many witnesses for that.
Like, imagine like you have the chance to save Brooke and Robbie and you say, nah, I don't think so. Like, they're not going to go lose their, you know what?
Well, as it happened in Amazing Race Australia this summer, the team that got last place on this leg had been jerks to everybody for several legs. And so first place team comes out and they're like, yeah, sorry, guys. And they're like, yeah, we saw that coming.
Well, that's what you get if you're jerks.
Karma's a bitch.
Jerk store. Okay, let's go. This is from the good people at Inclusive Host, who are the home of robhasawebsite.com. They want to know, could every other team really be that consumed with eliminating the cyclists, or is that more of the edit's portrayal?
I certainly think that every time someone said, we got to get rid of the cyclists, it made it onto the show.
Yeah. I agree. You know, I asked Tim and TJ about this. They were sort of like in the Sandra mode of, okay, as long as it's not us, we're okay with it. But it did seem like that was more of a Jim and Misty. Well, actually, Brooke took credit for it tonight.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Adam and Bethany, they also seemed on board with it.
Yeah. Yeah, but Adam and Bethany seemed like they were kind of on the periphery of that because if they had been part of the core alliance, I don't think their names would have come up as people to U-turn.
Yeah. So I do think it was real. I don't think that was a fan fiction.
No, it wasn't fan fiction.
I don't think it was fan fiction.
Do you have the button ready?
I don't have it ready. I don't have it ready. But you know what else isn't fan fiction? Users of Rob as a podcast can save 25% on their web hosting when they go to inclusivehost.com/RHAP. Not fan fiction either.
That was a fantastic segue.
It was borderline. Mike Bloom wants to say, do you guys think the producers should do a halfway flight booking from now on The Amazing Race?
I hate it when the producers do the flight booking.
Oh, so that just illuminate me. What they did tonight, was that when the producers do a flight booking?
What they did tonight was they got to choose their own. Like the producers, I think there was one flight that was suggested to them and they could go find their own, which has happened before.
Yeah. So I liked how they did it tonight. Like they gave them like, you should like, we recommend this flight, but feel free to do whatever you want.
Yeah. And that was something like Charlotte and Myrna were very famous for being able to find flights that nobody else could get. And like the show would give them a good flight and they'd find one that was way better.
Yeah. Why? How did they do that?
They had magical powers. I don't even know.
Hmm. So Charla has magical powers?
Maybe it's Myrna. I don't know.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm not gonna speculate, but they were very, very good at finding flights that nobody else could find.
Chris Bastian wants to say, if the instructions say you can change the flight that's been booked for you, why wouldn't you ask?
I would ask.
Look, we love Adam and Bethany, but you know, thinking of contingencies is not their strong suit. Like their strong suit is that they're unflappable, that they're low key, they're relaxed. They're not sweating the details, Adam and Bethany.
Very true.
Yeah, they're a little low key team. Like, hey man, if this flight is booked for us, then it must be good enough for us.
Yep.
Like, whatever, we'll deal with whatever comes. Once we get there, we'll figure it out.
I'm totally stoked to be on this flight, man.
Yeah, everything's cool. All right, let's go to Mr. Air Sonic. Did the cyclists just get screwed over by the Soul Surfers? Because if Soul Surfers hadn't shown up first, they probably would have gotten first. That's what I'm saying, Jess.
Yeah, it's probably true, but I think a lot of that was out of their control.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. All right, let's do one more question. Alex G, should having a U-turn in the same leg make teams more cautious about trying to do the fast forward? Jess, should teams tread lightly in a leg with a double U-turn about going for the fast forward, or should that make them more aggressive to get the fast forward?
I think it could definitely backfire on them, as we saw tonight.
Well, this was the classic backfire tonight.
It could have backfired a lot worse than it did, too.
Yeah. How could it have been worse?
Could have been worse if they actually had gotten U-turned.
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
The net effect is the same, but then you also have to kick through a bunch of crabs.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, the lack of the U-turn did make it more exciting tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I can't wait to see how this is going to play out. Just since we've been doing the podcast, I think this might be my favorite season of The Amazing Race.
I think it's definitely mine.
My previous favorite, I think, was the first season we did. It was 20. That was very fun. And then I feel like the 21 with the Twinnies and the Chippendales and Ryan and Abby and stuff like that. I think that was a fun season also. I also feel like underrated was the season we did last fall, 23.
Yeah, 23 is probably my second favorite.
I think we sort of forgot about 23. Jason and Amy and the Afghanimals and the Power Parents and all that stuff. So that was also a fun season. But I think this is probably the best that we've done since in these six seasons we've talked about together.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Jess, what are you going to blog about?
I'm probably going to blog about the risk and reward of the fast forward. And we're going to talk about why the fast forward has been handled poorly in the past and what they can do going forward to ensure that it's a great part of the game.
Of course, you could read Jess's blog every week at robhaswebsite.com, plus all of the Survivor blogs. We've got about five or six different bloggers every week talking about Survivor on robhaswebsite.com. All those are on the homepage. We've got part two of our Survivor podcast coming up. I spoke with Richard Hatch about this last episode, a great episode of Survivor this week. Also, CBS Reality killing it on Thanksgiving week. We have a lot to be thankful for in the reality TV podcasting game this week. So I talked to Richard Hatch. That interview is up on robhaswebsite.com. And then in part two, I will get to your voicemails about this episode of Survivor on Sunday. That's going to I'll have that up for you guys on Sunday night at Rob Has a Website. You can subscribe as well. Make sure you don't miss it. RobHasAWebsite.com/iTunes. And then on Monday, I will speak with the latest person eliminated from Survivor as well. So a lot to do coming up here on RobHasAWebsite.com. And then don't forget, Jess, double episode of Survivor on Wednesday night.
Madness.
2 hours, two full episodes. So two people will be eliminated. We'll get down to the final six this Wednesday night. And then, of course, we'll talk to two people on Thursday. And then we'll get to our big Survivor podcast, which it's Tyson week, Jess.
Oh, my God.
Big week, double episode, Tyson podcast coming up. And then Jess and I will get back together next Friday night to talk about what we expect to be a non-elimination leg next Friday night.
It's going to be an action-packed week.
Action-packed week. All right, Jess, fantastic job tonight. Scott St. Pierre, fantastic as well. We will be back with the Walking Dead season finale also on post-show recaps, the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead this Sunday night with Josh Wigler. If you're doing any shopping this weekend, we truly appreciate it when you use our links for Amazon.com. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.
One race to rule them all, one race around the world, from the city to the sea, thanks to Travelocity. After you've crossed the finish, man, one place left after that, there must be somewhere you can go. They're gonna take you around the world, around the world, around. Right.